Maybe she's Now, I'm sitting here listening to this song being basically butchered, and for the life of me, recorded, nothing wrong with it, and lately there have been audio issues. There's a little pink message from Blog Talk Radio announcing that there is yet another problem that they are working diligently to solve. And it just really, I'm not even letting it bother me that for the third week in a row, there is something wrong with Blog Talk Radio. My name is Sylvia Blaylock. The name of my show is Poetry in the Raw. This is Uprising Radio. And the theme of tonight's show is mental health break. The call-in number is 319-527-6039. And I would like you to call in with your poetry, your spoken word pieces, your freestyles, even your songs. And it is about mental health breaks. It's about time we put our pins to the issue of self-care and to how we keep our cool. When under most circumstances, I would just be frustrated and say, bah, cancel the show. Screw this. We're just going to do our thing. But the reality is, this show, I can start the show with no one in queue and say, it's going to be a short show. And then people call in and we all start chopping it up. And the next thing you know, an energy is created. I didn't know that I needed to be lifted until you all lift me. in some cases. So there you have it. We're going to take this where it's going to go. The call-in number is 319-527-6039. Press 1 if you want to get into queue. Now, the first song was Liz Wright. I put her link in the event page. The name of the song was Blue Rose, and it is off of her Salt album. I have the albums on vinyl and CD. And I really recommend you pick them up. The sister is just an amazing vocalist and songwriter. She really gets to the heart of a lot of issues, and so many of her pieces are about love. I believe the second thing you heard was Guapale. I believe. Or that's what I intended to play. I know I played Earth, Wind, and Fire. No, I played Earth, Wind, and Fire, Keep Your Head to the Sky. And the song was just really disrupted by some kind of audio difficulties that we're having here. So I did not get to play the Guapale song. We're going to get to that. And I'm going to open the mics up for poetry. I cannot wait to get started with you all. Here you go. Guapale, these things don't exist. I tell you, Blog Talk Radio, the song starts and now it doesn't. It's amazing.
I'm searching for my salvation.
My wolves grow hungry, both growl within, each fed from day to day, each growing more gray. Fake news, reparations long forgotten, dragging around the blues of the all too often misbegotten, plan for better days, thrown around every which way. What successes we reach are short-lived and ill-fated, rejected in a world that our blood, sweat, and tears created. The light within fights to shine against the shadows that encroach. The very society that is above reproach, less human than human by all accounts, yet extra by existence and proof in resistance to chains of all kinds, to body, soul, and mind, though many have been designed with our captivity in mind. Good and bad are a matter of perspective. What is evil to the whip swung non-consensually abrupt is the enough that is enough to the dark skin when it disrupts the arc of the swing and the intended sting. When the way of things leaves only songs of sorrow to sing, which do you feed? To which voice do you heed? When collective souls need to be freed, when one drop sends ripples dancing, who remembers which wolves thirst first? Survival is instinctual. This reality is far too factual to resist the wild's known call. To rise above the fall, who gets the biggest piece, if any piece at all? Which one do you feed? When the want is now a need, do they fight for the spiritual scraps? Are your soul's pantries tapped? No. Not likely. You see, it's the hand that feeds that is the hand that they heed. Good or bad depends on your view, so long as your wolves are not feeding on you. And that's that piece to the callers. Hi, thanks for calling Poetry in the Raw. Who do I have on the line?
It's Automatic Charismatic.
Hello, sir. How are you?
You feel fine. Just 5 hours, number one.
You want to call? You want to turn up your phone a little bit?
No. I'm good. It's good. No, I always put my mind, so I'm always good. You know.
Mhm.
I love the song that you play. I love that. I love that kind of music.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, I'm opening up the topic of mental health break. Did you have anything on that topic?
You know what I do.
Thank you, poet. The mic is yours.
His name is Freestyle, because he served two masks. When I look at you, when I say that I hope not the bad heart drop.
I can't actually understand what you're saying.
Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
No.
Can you hear me now? All right, I'll be a little, okay. The name of this poem is called Can't Serve Two Masters. All right. When I look at you and my heart drops, when the death tolls and I'm missing something, put me on the stand and I look into your eyes. Did I wish you bad or wish you good? Would justice ever be served at all? See, I wonder, persons crying over their loved ones, persons with shot dead, and we live in the soul of some religion. forgiveness has become overwhelming. Only in my thinking, I wonder, will progress ever be met? Sleep, my purse is not there. I've never been against forgiveness, but I do think that everything takes its toll. Rip in the soul when you can no longer see your loved one. So why would you ever say, I hope nothing bad happens to you, and I don't want to see you go to jail? But the soul of your loved one is gone forever. The cries that come right down the street. Remember, when your loved one, y'all used to be a team. So why would you wish to kill a whale? Do you even understand the fact that you in the courtroom, pressing along, not having your loved one there? You wish to kill her. All these great things. Are you desecrating your memory of your loved one by being submissive? You see, one thing that we can't do, we can't pray up, and then we can't submit to another master. The master in the field, the master of the plantation, the master in the courtroom, the master that go right into that wrong place and shoot your loved one. Everybody sees it. So why would you ever say that? I hope nothing bad happens to you. Our brother, that you say that you love like no other in the courtroom, hugging the killer. To be submissive when you serve two masters. See, you can't serve two masters, and you cannot be in a place to be delivered if you serve two masters. Some way you got to get off the plantation. Now, I know I probably feel that this person is hurting. Not trying to attack this brother, but why would you even consider hugging the enemy? Somebody cried to say that they were at the wrong place. But when you serve through mass, you are always in the wrong place at the wrong time. Mr. Automatic Charismatic, the local engine. 10 years in, I'm all in. Up and drive.
Wow. Are you trying to tell somebody something?
Talking about the Boston Dream case.
What?
I can never do that. A Boston Dream versus Amber Geiger. How was that? That has something to do with that.
Well, my dear, I'm going to thank you for sharing that. I'm going to put you back on the couch. I certainly hope that the message for that gets through to the person you mean it for.
Yeah. Well, actually, it probably would never, because it was Fulton Dean, the one who got shot in his own apartment. And his brother took the stand and hugged Amber Geiger. That's something that I would never have done. I think that it shows disrespect to the one that died.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if for us as black people, if we ever going to be taken seriously and be liberated, we cannot pray to God to the Most High and submit to masters down here. You either going to be a slave or you going to be a free person.
I like your concept on it. Well,
yeah.
I do like your concept on it, and there are a lot of people who really adhere to having God as their master, which is one way of seeing it. Certainly master, father, or people who want to be submissives. They believe that's how you do it. There's a lot to that, you know. I'm going to thank you again for bringing that to the mic. I'm going to put you on the couch with my thanks. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Yes.
I'm gonna put it on the event page. But I have to start my live shows. I mean, I've done live shows and radio and some columns on my WordPress. Starting that tomorrow. That's all I want to say. Much love. You know I got love for you.
Thank you. And do go ahead and put that on the event page, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Sure will.
Thanks again, and you have a good rest of the evening. Everyone, that's Automatic Charismatic. You'll know him online as Larry Shepard. And he's really a strong supporter of the show, coming through his own power struggle that he seems to be coming through rather well. So power to you, brother. I see people, but their hands aren't up. I don't know if that's Blog Talk or not. But I see you there. Hi. And hello to all my online listeners. Tonight's topic is Mental Health Break Day. And I want to say it's been about 5 years, and I first went online with a mental health break. And my plan was that we call in sick to work, or we take the day off from work that day or the next day, and we relax ourselves, we get some rest, we drink that extra glass of water, we meditate if we meditate, we find the music that puts our shoulders down. And so I talked to my boss, and I took tomorrow off so that I could have a day off to really relax, get my brain together. I've had a lot of successes, and I've had a lot of challenges recently. And what I've found is that when you believe you're strong, and when you believe that you can do it all, that you try to, or you believe you're supposed to, and we wear ourselves down. There's a show that I picked up on Oprah Network, Black Women Own the Conversation. And I checked out the episodes of it, and it's a conversation I think we should have more of. Certainly seeing this room of 100 black women talk about things, the mind, body, and soul, and hair, and mental health, and love, and really talk about it right down to disagreeing with each other, but being open to hearing new information. And I hope that in addition to really pushing the poetry, that we get more of that going. I am not picking a single one of you until I see a hand go up. So we are going to go and do this right here.
My style, it's been a while since I've embraced my style. Have I dismissed you for some superficial who's who? Hope you don't mind if I join you in a little parlay of words. There seemed to be some confusion on my part, probably during the discussion of art. This is where the saxophone starts to play a little John Coltrane. So here I am at this equinox, understanding while my lady sleeps. There's nothing others have that I have not. Validation means no validity to me. I've written in 88 keys. I spit live to a total stranger today, 'cause I fucking felt that way. Play, jazz man, play. My style, it's been a while since I've embraced my style. Have I kissed some upside down heart lips? Heartless to my own beat. Don't ask me to repeat that line. I'm coming to terms with being one of a kind. The sound delights no sound bites, but it don't sound right coming from me. So I'm scatting like Ella in an upright bass frame of mind, whisking the snare drum in syncopated time. I was on that stage, at that stage, a certain style was all the rage. I played from sheet music I couldn't use. My style was a ruse. It wasn't spiritual. My style, it's been a while since I've embraced my style. No longer will I do cover songs. I'll take those natural reactions from the main attractions. Giving fractions of oneself never helps the sound. If I may be profound for a minute, I love the hurt and I'm not about to thin it. I'm about to spin it again. Style, where have you been? As I scroll up and down the scale and piano solo, my style begins to show. My cadence slows. My voice gets low. Early morning baritone. Early morning testosterone and the balance of the equinox shows. I spit live to a total stranger today. Cause I fucking felt that way. Play, jazz man, play.
That was one of my favorite poems, actually. That was Equinox by Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer. I am actually putting that poem to video, and I'm looking forward to the finished result. Welcome back. Our topic is Mental Health Break Day. I want to speak to the issue of mental health in the Black community. And I want to start by defusing a part of it, if I may. I like to think that I'm smart, that I know a lot of things, that I'm book learned. I'd like to think that. I've read a lot of books. I'm a fairly intelligent person, I hope. But there are times when I believe something that is put in my head that has to do with mental health. And that is, I was once told that I faked my doctors. I faked my psychiatrist. That I wasn't really experiencing a mental breakdown. That I would fake my doctor so I wouldn't have to work. I was told this by a family member. And it had to do with, if you're familiar with it, hypochondria that runs in my family, where women would, or men, get really sick to rally the family, or would just really lean on every illness so that, you know, a small thing was made to look like a big thing for empathy and for to manipulate people. And so it made me a little distrustful when people became sick just as I was telling them no or saying I couldn't do what they wanted me to do. Well, when I became sick, the difference was not that I did it to get attention. I didn't actually tell anyone that I was putting myself in a mental hospital. When I did it, I just put on my coat, left my car keys at home, and I went and said, something's wrong with me. I don't think I want to be alive anymore. And it went bad from there. And I took the time. I got medication for a short amount of time, but then felt that what I needed to do was not medicate. I needed to address what was making me not want to live. And it took forever to first get people to believe me, people who knew me, and second, to admit that it was bigger than I could take care of on my own, which was really hard. We're surrounded by people who appear strong, who appear courageous, who appear like they've got it all together. And we don't take the time to see the hard reality. How can a person who loses their child or loses their parent or loses their home or loses, how can people just say, oh, well, that hurts, but life goes on without some sort of support system? Everyone is strong, but look around you who people who just miraculously overcame impossible obstacles. Doesn't mean they're weak. It means please see the humanness in people and not expect them to get over it. Don't believe that it is as simple as, oh, well, that just happened last year, but I'm better now. I lost my daughter over 20 years ago, and I will never be better. Doesn't mean I'm going to be hurt every day, but I have come to terms with the fact that there is a kernel of pain that will always be there. I look at people, Mama Oladeshi, for example, queen of the poetry community, and we've talked about it, that there is, it's an ache that's too deep to rub, and what is the point of talking about it all the time, except that this is the poetry community. This is where you come, whether with your poetry or just to spit it out. You know, nobody's a psychologist, but if the very first step is for you to get it out of you rather than keep it in you, then use it. But don't dismiss seeing a professional, realizing that you need to reset the chemical imbalance in your brain, maybe not for life, maybe it will reset and you don't need to take the medication for a long time. But there's also that possibility that any past drug usage, any alcohol usage from the past, strong trauma might mean you need to take a medication longer. And that might be exactly the reset you need to get back to your normal. Not to become a machine, not to become mind controlled, but to address something that in our community we just don't. We just don't. And while I'm on the subject of loss, please take a moment to reach out to Paul Sampson, who said that he gave his regrets that he would not be at my show. And I'm touched that even about to say this. He would not be able to make my show because they're having the homegoing ceremony for his mother today. He has struggled with his mother's illness for a while, and she is finally being laid to rest. My heart breaks for him because he just loves his mother. My heart breaks for him. And you guys, put your arms around him. Nobody is so strong that they're just going to walk out of this just all good. Let's all reach out to each other and make sure we're okay. I have more on the topic of mental health, but I'm going to go to the next caller. Hi, thank you for calling Poetry in the Raw. Who do I have on the line?
This is Tamiko Barnett. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I'm going to try to turn up my phone, but is it possible that, are you talking on speakerphone?
No, it's a cordless phone. Can you hear me?
You're not very loud, but I do hear you.
Okay.
Hi, Tamiko. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I found out about the show from someone you mentioned, Mama Oladeji, so I thought I'd call in.
She is a wonder with putting people together, and Lord knows she's truly the matriarch of the poetry community. And so welcome. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much.
So our topic tonight is Mental Health Break Day. Do you believe in taking, if you're working, a day off from work that is strictly I need to take off to just clear my head and I'm willing to take it with or without pay?
When I was working, yeah, I did do that from time to time. And I wouldn't always schedule it like that with the boss, but I would just schedule it in like vacation if I could get it in and no one else was taking that day.
So you wake up that morning and just go, this is not going to be the day.
And I've had those days, too. Yes, I had those days, too. And then other times it would just be like, I know by Wednesday or Thursday, let me go check the schedule because I think I need Friday because, I've done about all. I gave all I can give this week. So
I hear you.
I mean, and it wasn't just at work. It would be just personal life, too. Just
yeah.
Let me go and just do me all
yeah.
day.
I think that getting away from people who know neighbors, family, and getting on the road, not so that you could, like, be kidnapped off the side of the road, never to be seen again, but certainly so that I don't have to do much but read a book and be away from people. Those are just gold to me. Get away and just stay away until I get my hair together. Oh, yes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Tell me, did you bring a poem?
I did bring
okay.
a poem.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. This is called The Nature of It. And it's just talking about life, just me just rambling on about life. So this is The Nature of It.
Okay.
The nature of space. We got here, but how? The nature of time. The power of now. Unafraid of proclamation, unafraid of light, unafraid of transformation, unafraid of night, to train the brain, to read, to seed, to walk, to talk, to ask, to task, to flow, to grow, to weep, to sleep, to beam the dream. The nature of a thing, the nature of change, the nature of its sting, the nature of its strange. Life, is it life? The bitter, the sweet, the nature of it all, to win and defeat, in peace.
When did you write that?
You said where or when?
When.
When? Oh,
mm-hmm.
I wrote it just a couple of months back.
Well, thank you for coming to my show to share it. I sure appreciate you. Do you do a lot of shows, or is this your first show?
Actually, this is about my fourth show.
Okay.
I tried it years ago, back when
mm-hmm.
I had to have a show in 2007, and I did, like, maybe one show. And then just recently, in the last couple of years, got back online. So I was doing one show, and then in the past couple of days, Mama Ola Deji tipped me off about a couple of shows, this being one of them. So I'm trying to expand a little bit and then reach out a little bit more. So.
Well, you are always welcome. And... Well, oh, my goodness, that is so fantastic. I would like to say to Mama Ola Deji, thank you. And to you, please come back. It's not always about mental health, but we certainly are going to touch on a lot of things. And my featured guest next week is Carla Lawson, a published author, great sister, and I'd love for you to meet her.
Oh, thank you so much. I will call back in next week, and I will sit here and enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Oh, that is no worries. Hey, welcome again, and enjoy the rest of the show. Everyone, Mama Ola Deji introduced us to a new sister. I'm going to say that I love it when new people come on the show, and I love the people that are listening and online. Thank you so much. Today is a very laid-back show. Having the day off tomorrow and really avoiding the phone and taking the time to really get myself together is necessary. A year ago, I want to say maybe a year ago to the week, is when I decided that it was time to start on my own. And, try a network that had this radio station and soon other stations as well as other hosts. Unlike the way I experienced it and the different networks that I have been blessed and honored and humbled to start out on, I wanted to build an infrastructure. I wanted there to be an explanation of what to expect as a host, as a feature. I wanted to get as much support as I could from people who will help me send swag to my features, who will sponsor the headphones with built-in mics for the hosts on our network, because that's my expectation. I don't expect you to go out and buy them. I expect to provide my host with these things and thinking them through and how I would go about doing it without changing what the show or the network has been about. And doing that while still hosting shows has been a bit of a balancing act, because some days, you know, people want to watch football. They want to do poetry. And for that matter, I don't do football. Maybe I just want to sit in the tub. I don't want to do a poetry show. But we are building on something, and we're doing it because our time is now. Not just me. The mental health of the people with the pens has really become an almost obsessive thing with me. The mental health of the people who are doing more than just I'm writing and I'm just doing my thing, they want to live on this poetry. They want to share it with as many people as possible, and they stretch themselves super thin. So how do we take care of others? How do we take care of ourselves? I've looked into this, and expecting others to take care of it for you is part of where we all miss each other, because it's not as though we can't help each other or that you shouldn't need help when you need it. It becomes burden that you're taking on for other people when you can't take care of your own burden, or it becomes people pushing their burden onto you when they don't want to take care of their own burden alone. They just don't want to. They don't want to quite reach out and say, I need you to help me do this, but they do want to judge you if you don't offer. It becomes a jumble when we're these people. So the best advice I've been given on this subject, many people have said it, is take a deep breath and make sure you're okay. Don't expect anybody else. Just for a minute, take a deep breath and check yourself. Where am I? Okay? Am I thinking clearly? And know when you need to reach out. Not expect somebody to do it for you, but actually reach out and say, I need someone to pick up my slack because I cannot do this. And that's how we start. That's the hardest part, is admitting that you need the help, because there's a lot to be said for needing the help, but being more interested in having people want to help you than you are interested in actually being helped. You want people to want to help you. You want people to have the desire to help you. And if you look at what that actually is saying, it really is not wanting to be helped, but wanting to be seen as a victim. When you actually have a need, but before you will actually say, hey, I have a need, you want to feel that people want to help you. There's a separation that is complicated in both our culture and this in society on what is healthy to want help with, and when do we go past actually needing help to the desire to be a victim, to be helpless, to be desired by people in some way, even if it is as a broken person. Hard stuff, but we're going to keep the conversation going on it until we can find out how to get through it. I am going to... I just dropped a call. Damn it. The call-in number is 319-527-6039. Thank you.
got excuses, but the truth is I got a fever. Your vibe's contagious, and I've been waiting for you to tame the flame in me. I see you got just what I need. Come a little closer, darling. You the only heat I'm seeking. I'ma bend it over, turn right back around to get a peek in. Push it back on you. Let me push it back on you. Shawty, swing my way. Tell me what's more heavenly than melanin and melody. Shawty, swing my way. It's the perfect recipe. So shawty, won't you swing with me? Shawty, swing my way. Tell me what's more heavenly. Never hurt nobody. Just a little proof that you're working. Only me and you in the party. That's how it feels when we get home and close and taste it slow. This groove so high, might lose control. So come a little closer, darling. You the only heat I'm seeking. You should bend it over, turn right back around to get a peek in. Push it back for me.
Approximately 30% of African-American adults with mental illness receive treatment each year, compared to the U.S. average of 43%. That is not an accident. There is a great deal of distrust in the mental health industry due to misdiagnosis. What was trauma brought on by oppression, rape, abuse, living in a world where the police want to kill you, could give anybody stress. But that is often diagnosed as bipolar illness, when in fact it is traumatic stress disorder. Different medication, different treatments. And so when the treatment they give you doesn't work, you don't trust them. There were not as many people of color giving treatment as there are now. And being able to find someone can also depend on what kind of insurance you have. There are services out there that are free of charge. The internet provides a lot of solutions, and I really encourage all of us to both call the hotlines for suicide prevention, but more importantly, if you're not suicidal, how are you feeling and how do we get you the help you need? That's when you can use the internet to your advantage, reach out to other people who are putting themselves out there to help. Now, I'm going to go ahead to the next caller. Hi, thank you for calling Poetry in the Raw. Who do I have on the line?
It is Espanol. Jose.
Jose? Oh,
Jose.
Are you really going to do this to me every show?
because that is Joe in Spanish.
It sort of is, so. Okay, you got me that time, everyone. J&K, everyone.
I had my coffee, so excuse me.
That's okay. I am so happy to hear from you. And the
me
topic
too.
Of this show is mental health break day.
I say
that both as somebody who is careful about when I'm running myself too hard, when I need to rest my mind, or when I see people around me that are struggling. I'm sensitive to it. What are your thoughts about mental health breaks and mental health care?
I think it's life or death, because you could be healthy on the outside and your mind just be ready to just break down, you know, and it's I have so many different situations where, you know, you're like, say for instance, and it's not life or death or thing like that, but you think you lost your wallet and you left it on the dresser, but you think it's in your pocket, and you're like panicking because you're not even in where you live, so you need your car to get back home, but yet your car is on the hotel dresser. So sweat begins to drench. So imagine what's happening, and we're just talking about a card that's on your dresser, and you begin to drench yourself just from that little breakdown. So imagine when it's something serious, and we're smiling with our suits and ties and dresses, and we're going into the workplace every day, and we're breaking down, and yet we're smiling, we're eating healthy and everything, and it's not healthy because we have nobody to cry out to, nobody to trust, and to the fact where, see, when I say trust, that means you're not going to bother me every 5 minutes. Every second you get an opportunity to see my face or my name, you're not going to be like, okay, you okay? You need me to call you? No, that's annoying.
There's something demeaning about someone feeling like you're a fragile freaking egg when there is being concerned. And I think me and Suntetcher touched on this. There are people who are concerned, and there are people who want to do a nice thing without actually helping you.
Hurting you, pushing you away.
Yeah. Oy. You know, after a while of just like, oh my God, I would rather have no help than this. And then people start rejecting help for that reason. I hear you on that. I definitely do. Well, you know, I know you brought a piece, so you are going to do something on the mic, I know.
You want me to do something on the mic?
Of course.
Oh, you just wanted a reply from the topic question.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that. You definitely have a reply, but did you want your piece to be about the topic or no?
Oh, no, I won't make it to work tonight if I did that.
Okay. I will trust you. The mic is yours, sir.
Well, do you have a topic that you wanted me to address or express?
Relax.
That's not normal.
The topic is real. Yeah, okay. Not normal. Halloween. Oh. Nope, you can't do that because I want you to do that on the show. Surprise me.
Oh, boy, you're something else. Okay.
I know.
Here we go. Do you ever feel like saying, when you're looking out the window, is that what morning looks like? I just slept this 2 hours and it's daylight. Everybody's looking at me. I don't feel comfortable. What's going on? Is it something I need to ask, or is this the regular that I'm supposed to experience? Because I'm not feeling at ease. Excuse me, what day is it? Because I don't really believe that I am in the right time frame. Can you speak to me? Because everything that I speak and feel to you, you look at me like ridiculous. Moments that pass with a pass. Without a passport, you pass the portal. It's like entering another dimension without believing that you have been free from the cage. Or should I say a mental cave that collapsed like fallen bricks. One hits you in the nostril, the next one on your cheek, and then the TKO, your nostrils. Waking up 5 hours, point, 2 minutes, point, timeless. You feel like you're lost without a cause, that you didn't experience anything. It's almost like a day of dreams or a mirror of nights without Elm Street being present. But the presence of your presence, no, I didn't ask you to open me up. No, I'm not telling you that I'm next to you. I said the presence of your presence. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Quite confusing. It's like kind of like having a Rubik's Cube with all the colors being one color. Yet, you see that I'm colorblind. You feel me? My heartbeat didn't beat. Stop. It told you that it was silent. It didn't tell you to give it CPR. It didn't tell you to listen. It told you to be still. And this is approximately time. Everything that you thought you heard, everything you thought you believed, and everything that you thought you received, and everything that you thought that you wasn't, you are wrong about everything. The question mark on your forehead. Yes, it does exist. The broken heart wasn't supposed to stay that way. It was supposed to allow you to be a testimony unto somebody else because somebody trusts you enough that you would tell them the truth of how you feel, what experience, what it felt like in a particular time, and you don't want to tell them because you just think it's about you. That you're not supposed to go through with anything, everything that everybody thought you should be. You should be strong, strong like an ox. You're supposed to be. Yeah, that happens to me too. You choke on your words because everything that you thought you had, it was just to let someone know that it's going to be okay. The window's closed. It's too bright outside. Pull down my shade so I can go back to sleep because this is just a dream. Good night and peace.
This is just a dream. Oh. You are really something. How long have you been?
You told me to surprise you.
You did though.
Since 92. Since 92.
Well, I'm always amazed at your talent. I so appreciate you bringing this to the show. What I would like to do is, of course, put you on the couch and thank you again. And you got to make the show. I just love that. Thank you so much.
I like the way how you ended. I mean, you started your conversation as an I was like, yes, yes.
I know. You're influencing. What the? Well, thank you anyway. And do enjoy the rest of the show. And
thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Joseph Nathaniel King Jr. is J&K, one of my favorite poets. Enough of the There is a lot to be said for mental illness and how it shows itself. Paranoia, schizophrenia, bipolar illness, anxiety attacks, when we get our heart pumping and we're anxious that we want to avoid experiencing something that we may need to go through. And so many of these things can be batted away and discounted as, oh, that's what white people experience. That's how weaker people deal with their issues. When between the food that we are exposed to, the environment, the social impression of us, you cannot just say that you do not have mental illness if you are struggling and you just don't think that's what it is. I know that was kind of convoluted, but we often say that's not mental illness, that's fatigue. That's just having a bad day. That's life. Being able to identify the thing that you're experiencing is the first step, and really looking into whether or not it's mental illness. How are you sleeping? What are you afraid of? What are you having problems getting over, getting through, getting around that just continue to reappear in your life? These are the things that, as a people in particular, we just do not have enough direction and tools to address them. And that's how so many people get depression and fall away, disappear, hypertension, and we don't get these things looked at. And then there's that skeleton in the closet, that there is a stigma associated with telling people you might have a mental illness, you might be depressed, you might be struggling with a trauma. If the number of women who have been raped in this country is even half, even as close as it appears to be, because for all the ones that you see, there are quite a few who will never tell, then what we're talking about is trauma that can be treated. You know, even a chemical imbalance can be treated. But if you have a trauma that you don't even talk about, that you've never treated, that is something that once addressed, you have the opportunity to heal that. And don't feel that your trauma is any smaller than anybody else's or so big it will eclipse what people think of you. Imagine all the things we have been taught to believe about the things that are killing us. That the thing that is killing you from the inside, like a microwave, is your burden to bear. That you just must take it because that's the mantle of having this melanin skin. And that's some bullshit. Just some more slave talk to get you to stay in your place and like it. And how's this for kicks? Because God said so. You are meant to suffer. God did not say that. God did not say that. There's so much more I want to share about that, and I would like to invite some psychologists on our next mental health break, because we really need to address what's wrong. And it's not just one thing, y'all. It's not just one thing.
Two minutes I can stop a nosebleed. In 2 minutes I can tell you of my life's history. In the first 2 minutes of conversation, I can make a woman fall in love with me. And because of premature ejaculation, you see, in 2 minutes I came and she's in the kitchen making me a ham sandwich with American cheese. In 2 minutes I can recite the alphabet frontwards and backwards starting at G. HIJKLMNOPQISTUVWXYZZYXWBUTSRQPONMLKJIHNG, you see? Give a dying man 2 minutes to tell his family, don't cry for me. Give a dying man 2 minutes to relive his life's history. Give a gambler 2 minutes to change his luck, to change his bet from 7 black to let it ride on 11 red. Give a murderer 2 minutes and someone may be alive and not dead. If Trayvon Martin had 2 minutes more, he'd be alive today eating Skittles and enjoying another day to run and to play. Trayvon didn't get 2 minutes more, and now, rest in peace, he's dead. Give Mike Tyson 2 minutes and he wouldn't have that big-ass tattoo on the side of his head. Give me 2 minutes to say I'm sorry. Give me 2 minutes to say I miss you. Give me 2 minutes to say I love you. Give me 2 minutes to believe. Give me 2 minutes to achieve. Give me 2 minutes to perform the NFL football 2 minute drill. Give me 2 minutes to swallow this suicide pill. My time is up. So whatever I didn't get to say or do, I will say or do nevermore. Unless my God gives me 2 minutes, 2 minutes more. But not even 2 minutes are guaranteed. It's all God's call. 2 minutes. Please, Lord, give me 2 minutes more. Now, because my God gave me 2 minutes more to think my life over, to laugh, to cry, because of those 2 minutes more, I'm alive.
William Washington just never ceases to amaze me. I love his voice, and his work always kind of gets my brain going. I needed to breathe through that. You are listening to Poetry in the Raw. I am your host, Sylvia Blaylock, and this is my mental health break day. This is me chilling with you, poetry and music, and really talking about our mental health. The call-in number is 319-527-6039. And here's how I do things. I love bringing poets and music to the show. But you know what I love more than that? Being able to say, I have no problem getting everybody who calls in on the line and then closing the show early, taking the show and taking myself a hot Epsom salt bath, and saying, maybe this is what the universe wanted today. Sylvia is going to go tend to herself. Who knows? But I've got to hear some wonderful poets. And really, I'm going to dig a little deeper into the mental health care, because I would like us all to think about what we are struggling with that we could get help with. There are people who give it to God. What they're struggling with, they just say, that's not mine, that's the Lord's, and that's it. They have such unshakable faith that they can take their burden off their shoulders and give it to God and be bothered by it no more. That level of faith comes with having an intimate relationship with God. I can tell you, from witnessing, that it is not something you do. You just walk into a room with God and say, here, this is yours. That is from developing the relationship. If you don't have that kind of relationship with your higher being, what you are doing is trying to dump your burden somewhere. And so be careful that you don't shake your relationship with God by thinking that you can just dump your burdens on God and they'll be healed from you. Know that there are some things you need to do with the free will that God gave us to see to your healing, to see to how much of this is mental illness and how much of this is just fucking tiredness. Also justifiable. No mental illness at all. I'm just tired. I want to break from life without having to die. It's okay to be tired, you know? It is okay to be tired. Thank you.
Again, that is Liz Wright. The song is Open Your Eyes, You Can Fly. I posted the link to her website and the event page. And you're listening to Poetry in the Raw. Tonight, our topic is mental health break. It's a little more relaxed in that this is both a mental health break for me as well as a conversation about mental health. I've posted some links in the event page to mental health in the African-American community, links that can prove to be helpful. One in particular stuck out to me, and it was in Huffington Post, written by James Lavelle Dickens, four ways African Americans can tackle mental illness. And of course, this is the end all be all. It was very succinct, straight to it answer. And I would like to tell you the four ways without making it a big drawn out process for you. So the number one thing he says is to ditch the mental health stigmas that many African Americans have. We call people crazy. When in fact you might just be depressed, have a little depression or anxiety. And there's a stigma to people who are crazy because it means that you're weak to some people. And it's very harshly judged, and we're not going to be able to tackle what is really the breakdown of our communities if we don't first address the stigma around it. And the second is to find a provider you can trust. And that could mean that you need a Black provider, or it means no matter what race they are, you need to be able to confide in them and trust them and know how to make sure the person that's working with you is working for you. The third is know the difference between physical and emotional symptoms. I'm just going to read that one out to you. Many African Americans would rather be considered sick than crazy. And as a result, they are now more inclined to talk about physical symptoms like headaches and digestive problems without addressing underlying causes like sadness or despair. Because mental illness can also cause physical symptoms. And maybe if you become aware of what these red flags are, you can catch up to something before it becomes more problematic. Number four, break the silence. Mental illness affects 1 in 5 adults, yet we still have a hard time talking about it. This irony is especially relevant for African Americans. It's time to stop whispering in the dark about those things, those voices, the things that happen, and tell our stories out loud for everybody's sake, really. If you would like more resources on mental health breaks, please go ahead and inbox me. I'll be happy to help you find what you need on that. But what I'm going to say about this, we're the griot, the writers, the poets. There is music that speaks to our soul that we deliberately don't play. We just don't play it anymore. We don't play what's soothing to us. For whatever reasons, we just don't. Find that music and turn it on. The smell of nachapa or sandalwood, those things that used to set our shoulders down and just give us our peace. For some reason, we move away from them. Or we haven't picked up our pen. We're having a dry spell with the writing. We don't share what we write anymore. It's important that we take the time to do those things that feed our spirits, even if we're in our darkest places. When we know that it's the thing that keeps our motor running, then nothing should stop us from it. Getting us out of the bed, getting us up if we can get up, getting us up in our minds, even if we can't get up on our feet. Those things that power us, we need to reconnect to. And I'm raising my hand saying, shame on me for not having more upsets my heart right. Because the result is that we wind up not doing those things. We wind up not feeding our spirits, and we let the darkness win. Next week, our featured artist is going to be none other than Carla Lawson. The woman is a painter, a writer. She published the book, Where Is My Parade? I love her to pieces. High schooler, Pittsburgh High School, whoop, whoop. I knew her from high school. She's not a high schooler now. She was all kind of woman. And Miss Carla Lawson is going to join me with her new project here. And then the following week, it is going to be the Halloween show. Y'all ain't ready. You're not ready. We will have all the information on the website and out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And we invite you to bring your pens and bring your friends. We're going to have a good time. But what I'm going to give you tonight is this. Forgive yourself for what you had to do to be able to listen to this show, to be alive, to be here when there are others who didn't make it, when there are things, maybe if you had other choices, you had more time, da-da-da, you'd have done it a different way. But that's not what happened, and you're here now. So start off by forgiving yourself for what you had to do to make it this far. Once you can forgive yourself for the things you need to forgive yourself for to have made it this far, that at least is a first step towards healing what's hurting in you. But there's so much more to it. Please don't give up on finding answers and finding solutions and reaching out, sharing with your pieces, your pens, and on the mic will at least give other people the courage to share these things themselves. I am going to go and be very nice to myself and then take tomorrow off and really just rest. And what I invite you to do is the same thing. I will be back Monday, and we will be introducing Samuel Rain, Complicated Passion Show, Tasting Poetry, next Wednesday. Be ready. We're going to do the damn thing. I thank you so much for coming out to Poetry in the Raw, and you have a good night.
come from.